Realizing that technology is supposed to help us was really an eye-opening moment for me. And other industries have it solved. You go to a doctor, they don't have to rerun every test. No, they have a medical profile of you. So Otis, we use technology to connect to all of these various tools. And so now you go into one place, you type in the name or they're in your class, and you all of a sudden can see, oh, this is Chris's entire history in the district. I know these key bits of facts. I can see their journey to where they are now.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to Learning Unboxed. As always, I'm excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today we are going to be talking about data as a positive disruptor in how we think about the concept of what is school, why does it matter, how can we do it better? And data is a hot topic. It's one that we've been talking about for a long time, and it's one, unfortunately, I believe we need to continue to be talking about. And joining us today is Chris Hull, founder and president of Otis. So Chris, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Excited to be here today. Really excited for the conversation.
Excellent. So let's set just a little bit of context for our listeners. Otis is an education technology company that provides schools across the U.S. with comprehensive solutions for assessments, data management, and insights into student performance. Today's educators have access to extensive student data, but it is often spread across multiple tools, making it challenging to get a complete picture of performance. Otis is a K-12 assessment data and insights platform that will strive to ensure that every educator and the school community has the insights that they need to make a difference in students' lives. So that's a lot. Super, super important. And I also want to add, you know, Chris is a former educator who found himself into the ed tech space. And we see that frequently when we start to dig into ed tech. And often it's exactly sort of as prescribed here. We see an issue, there's all these tools, maybe we can come up with a better solution. And oh, by the way, because I've been an educator, I felt that pain. So Chris, let's start sort of at that 100,000-foot view as we start to get into the conversation. Share with us a little bit about your experience, first and foremost, as an educator trying to deal with and understand data that then ultimately led you to the creation of Otis.
Yeah, that data word, we were talking in our, you know, when we met just a couple moments ago, that data word sometimes is problematic. You know, I often joke that it's a four-letter word, and you know, you're not supposed to say certain four-letter words. And sometimes I feel like in education that the data literacy, the ability for educators and family members and all the stakeholders involved to really dive into the data can be overwhelming or concerning, or how is it going to really help me with my kindergartners or my third graders? And so for me, I really looked at data as information. And I like to be as efficient as possible with my time, because when I was teaching, there was nothing more important than time. Time was so fleeting. There was so much to do. I really saw data as a way to get a little bit ahead, to be a little bit more attuned to the needs of my students, to be a little bit more attuned to what I needed to do. Because at the end of the day, if I was able to connect to my students, really understand what they needed, I would be able to help them. And there was nothing better than a teacher to help. And so all that mumbo jumbo was to really say, I think that the disconnect a lot of educators face with this is that data is just little bits of information that can be compiled or kind of gathered together so that you really can have a better sense of what you need to do next. And it also can help you better communicate with your colleagues that you might be your other teachers in your grade level, but it also can help you communicate to your principal, like, hey, this is how things are going. When you're able to embed or infuse data into those conversations, like, man, my kids are really struggling. What does that mean? Well, I have a classroom of 25 and 13 of them are struggling to use evidence when supporting their ideas. Oh, wow. Now we have something tangible that we can talk about. or if I'm talking with a parent, you know, in those parent-teacher conferences, we're coming up on them in the spring. It's like, well, how's my child doing? You know, using things like, oh, they're doing great. All of a sudden, you have a lot of context to fill in. And I think that data can help. You know, back to that thing, well, or your son or daughter, they're doing amazing. They're supporting their ideas with evidence, you know, and they're this often or this commonly, or this is what we're working on.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I think that that's wickedly important. And one of the things that I think is interesting, and certainly at the PASS Foundation, we bump up against all the time is, so I have this data, right? And to your point, and it maybe it's a singular tool that's compiling all of that stuff and making it a little more user-friendly for us. Or maybe, to the piece of the conversation earlier, it's across multiple tools because that's what my school or school district has either chosen to use or got stuck with, so on and so forth. But the reality of it is, for lots of educators, one of the things that I hear is, yeah, we got data, but I have no idea what to do with it, or how do we interpret the data, right? How do we actually then leverage the data that we have to our best and highest use? And bottom line is, as an educator, how do I fundamentally and foundationally understand the data that's being handed over to me through all of these tools and these gatherings? How do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's really important not to be overwhelmed, right? You know, we always hear this term, you know, are we data rich but information poor? Or, you know, we're overwhelmed by what we have. I think it's most important for teachers to understand that at the core, that they're trying to do what they almost instinctively want to do, which is connect to their kids. And so the question is, how do we use this information that can be almost too much to really help answer and drive understanding to advance you forward? So I think it's important to not just look for data because, oh, look at all of this we have here. Like, no, it's like, what specific questions are we trying to do? If we need to differentiate for a lesson and, you know, for next week, it's like, okay, first off, like, how do you want to differentiate? Well, I really want to do homogeneous groups this week because I really want to be able to push different kids and I want to take my students who are struggling and really focus in with them. Great, that's a great choice. Or maybe I want to do heterogeneous groups because I want to have some more teaching amongst each other. Once you understand your goal, then you can use data. Like, oh, I want to have homogeneous groups. Great. Well, what skill are we working at? Maybe we're looking at the ability to understand informational text. Well, now you want to be able to say, okay, well, how am I going to group my kids effectively so that they are not just by, I think these two students are the same range. No, it's like some students can be quiet. Some students can be more vocal. It's like you want to really match their skill level. And those examples hopefully are helpfully illustrative in the terms of when you have specific aims. So for when I was in the classroom, I really liked to split up the groups and, you know, I wanted to have homogeneous or heterogeneous, or I wanted to have different skills together. Well, I needed to know where my students were for that. As a social studies teacher, we did a lot of work on informational reading and writing. So I wanted to make sure that I could all of a sudden have those right pairings. Or if I had a one-on-one conversation, which I think are the most valuable things you can have with a student, pinpointing, hey, when I'm talking to Jake, this is what, Jake, this is how you are doing right now. This is where your benchmarking is. And so I think sometimes we say, oh, I just have this data. It's like looking out at a lake. It's beautiful. Yeah, but what am I going to do with it? Well, you have to decide. Are you going to go kayaking? Are you going to go fishing? Are you going to do a meditation? Because that information, that lake, can serve a whole different set of purposes, but it's really take a step back and be meaningful with your approach to what you want to use that for to make you more efficient and effective in connecting to students and helping them get better.
Absolutely. And that is, in fact, the beauty of the opportunity, right, that data represents. So I appreciate that very much. One of the other things that I will often hear as it relates to teachers utilizing these types of resources and opportunities. And to your point, you know, it's rare that you meet the educator that didn't go into that because A, I love teaching, or B, I really want to help kids, right, you know, find their way in life. It's a very passion-driven profession in many ways. But it's also a profession that in many ways has become very process-driven. And I think many educators, right, you know, definitely in a post-pandemic world, it was super amplified. So, you know, one of the things that I also see then as it relates to this is it's one thing to have the data and to learn how to interpret the data. And so maybe this gets us into more of an Otis question specifically, is really around data is great and data is fabulous when I learn how to use it. But data is powerful when I can actually ask questions, native questions of that data that may not be the traditional way that whatever the system is that I'm using or the tool is spitting the information out. So my big question, right, and I think this is where the greatest learning for educators can come from, is when we learn to take a data set and realize that it can tell us far more than it might just traditionally spit out for us, because there's so much nuance in data. And so if we can just sit down and have a conversation with that data set, imagine what we could learn.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I feel like I'm in a baseball, like, hitting lesson. You just gave me a softball. That is, you nailed the real power between data. And, you know, this is something that Otis has been working on for over a decade. And in many ways, we've visualized data for the last, you know, 10 years in ways that are really helpful, you know, really around differentiating. Hey, these are kids in these different groups. And we've allowed you to have those insights in these really good visualizations, like your gradebook. Oh, these are the kids who are performing on this standard in this range, or there, if you're doing standards-based grading or standards-informed instruction, hey, these are the kids who are at mastery. These are the kids here. But as you know, as you mentioned, the real power comes from these, you know, professional learning communities, these PLCs where you can have the conversation. But too often, educators are left alone, siloed in their classroom. They kind of bunker down and they're almost like all by themselves, or maybe one or two colleagues. And what we are actually have released, and it honestly happened just a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, is what we call our AI assistant. And it really is providing these insights based exactly what you said. It was so funny because the data literacy amongst educators is so wide, and it should be. You know, the key skill of a kindergarten teacher should not be running pivot tables or doing correlations and, you know, Tableau or some of these, you know, really cool interfaces. Like, I don't want to be training on that. I want to train, how do I help my kindergarten become love learning and do these things? But data can be really powerful. And so what we have developed is this AI assistant, where there's nothing easier than using, you know, plain English or natural language to ask your questions. Like, hey, who are my kids struggling? Or what activities would be good for this standard? Because a great part about education is there's been so much research and preparation where you can go to these assessments like NWA or SBAC or DIBLES or, you know, Discovery has Dreambox and all these amazing assessments. Great. They give us these insights or measurements of learning. But to be able to really engage, have a conversation, hey, what does it mean that my student's at this level? Or what does it mean that five of my kids are here and on my common assessment that I gave in my classroom, I also notice they're struggling on this skill? All of a sudden, just having those conversations, that's really the most powerful piece. And that is what Otis is providing, this assistant. I always was jealous of the college professor who had like the five teaching assistants. I'm like, I need that in seventh grade. Like, hey, can someone do this research for me? Pull these all together and let me just ask you questions about it. And that's what we've created. Let me ask you questions about, hey, I've measured, you know, third grade, these three third grade standards. What does it tell me? Oh, well, are the same kids struggling on all three? Or is certain kids really doing well at one and then struggling at another? Well, this back and forth of just being allows you to kind of triangulate with the help of somebody so you're not doing it all by yourself, because that can be intimidating. That can be like, am I doing this right? And so we really think that supportive assistant is really a game changer. And we're hearing the same thing from all our teacher users and administrator users. They're like, wow, this really saves me time and gains me insights that are driving forward instruction in the classroom.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School, 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at pastfoundation.org/hackingschool.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I really love about that, in all honesty, is the potential. And I'll pause just a second to preface that I recognize that for this to really come to fruition, one of the things that we ultimately do need to spend time, energy, and effort as educators on, or even as systems, to recognize that we need to invest in development of our educators for, is how to ask all of these various AI tools that are coming about, right? We need to understand what they can and cannot do. We need to understand the privacy issues. We need to understand where they're learning, how they're learning, how they're taking information out and making it part of a bigger data set that other tools can then also learn from, right? There's lots of that, and that's not what this conversation today is for. But we also need to recognize that we have to, as the humans in the room, right, we have to learn how to ask questions to get the information that we're actually seeking. And it's honestly one of the things that I love about AI, and you and I both come from a social studies background, so I love that too. So I can guarantee that you and I could jazz on the idea that oftentimes people ask questions and they think that the question that they're asking will get them the information they're looking for. But we know that's not the case, right? Because the nuances is in the words and the phrasing or the order of the words really, really matters as it relates to how you get the information back out again. And so one of the things I love about the potential here, right, is going back to that example that you provided, not only can I ask these types of tools of these robust data sets, you know, how are my kids, these three kids doing? And is one or two doing slightly better than the other? But more importantly, what's the margin between doing okay and doing great on this, having a full, robust understanding that gets us all the way to synthesis? And what or how could that intervention be to just bridge that tiny little gap? Rather than just saying we're doing okay, so we're going to move on to the next thing, the reality is the difference between okay and great long-term for a kid is compounded. So learning how to ask the questions of the data and those AI assistants that will get us to that little bit of understanding from our instructional sort of standpoint, it, to my mind, is a game changer.
You hit on so much that's just incredibly valuable. You know, in one point, the idea is like there, it is about the margins, right? Like that's what I, you know, it's like little things can make a difference with all of a sudden, oh yeah, you pass. Well, there might be this, you might have gotten through it, but there might have been a misunderstanding embedded within it. And that misunderstanding might not come out for a year or two, but it's like, how do we really understand that nuance? But then the one that really gets to me is asking the right questions is such a difficult thing because how are my kids doing, right? Like, I think that's like the number one question a parent asks. Well, how's my kid doing? Well, you could go in numerous ways. Are they polite? Are they respectful? Are they engaged? Are they liking learning? Are they doing well in math or do they need to read? There's so much there. And education is just absolutely, it relies on context. And, you know, some of the things, you know, not that we need to go too far into it, like we're really fortunate to where we've been very deliberate. We've been thinking about AI for 10 years and we waited until it could be secure, right? We didn't want to send it out to a larger model. We want it all contained. We want it to be super secure. We also want to make sure that we're deliberate so that the context exists. Like it's important that it can understand the context between, you know, this type of score or measurement or assessment and a different one. And how do they correlate? Can they correlate? Can we see? And then once you have all that context, once you have all that security, once you have all that accuracy, then you also need to help the person asking the questions and saying like, how are my kids doing? You could ask that of our AI assistant and it's going to give you a pretty general 90,000 foot view answer. But what's going to be really cool is you can actually help it prompt things that can then ask you a question back. Are you preparing for a PLC? Because if you're preparing for a PLC, you're going to want a different set of information than if you're preparing for a parent-teacher conference. You know, all of a sudden, those two conversations are going to be different, even though you're looking at the same set of information. How, you know, your classroom's performance on a set of assessments and measurements of learning, it's going to inform your grade book, it's going to inform your PLC, it's also going to inform your parent-teacher conference. But two different audiences, two different approaches, and we can actually help our educators begin to ask those questions. Because once you unlock the questions, this goes back to one of your earlier questions, then you're more mindful, you're more intentional when you're looking at the data then for other things. Again, back to my lake analogy, you know what you're doing. You're not just like, well, what should I do today? You actually have a plan of attack. You're being efficient and effective. And that's the exciting part. And I think we can raise the floor, raise the tide. We can really raise up the entire level of education by empowering educators with these insights in a more timely way. So they're not wading through things, trying to figure it out. They're able to get that information and then get back to the implementation and the actual engagement with their kids. And it's, I think that type of curiosity is going to then drive more, right? We've always wanted that feedback loop to get faster. And when all of a sudden we can get these successes and all of a sudden you see, wow, when I knew this specific question and it helped my kids here, and all of a sudden it made my lesson better, all of a sudden I'm going to do that more. And then it's going to get better and you're going to do faster. And then we get into this loop that I think is going to be truly exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super curious, Chris, you've been at this for a while now. So when you take an educator or a school or a district, right, and they're all using data in different forms and have been for a very long time, I would say some are more sophisticated at understanding how to best leverage data than others. I think that's fair. But when you have spent time thinking about or working with either a somebody or a someplace that's relatively basic in their use of data. Let's couch it that way. And that might not be the right term, but hopefully everybody who listens understands what I'm asking. Because some places, again, really, really great at utilizing, man, they're champs, they're powerhouses at it. In other places, it's a struggle to figure out how best to utilize this to our greatest benefit. When using the right set of tools, learning how to ask the right questions, and really spending time recognizing that this data set is in fact a tool for us as well, just as much as the technology behind the back end of it. How long or what's the progression that you tend to see for going from being a basic user and understanding to becoming really robust expert as it relates to leveraging this for the benefit of our students? Because that's the other thing that I hear often. There's just not time to figure this out.
Yeah, and I think that's where we need to be really practical in how it's going to be used. Sure, it's like if you talk to a school district, yeah, it'd be great if I had the time to do this. And all of a sudden, they don't see the value add in the immediate. And, you know, in many ways, you know, I know so many teachers, it's like in many ways, sometimes they feel like they're drowning. They feel like they have so much going on that they're barely keeping their head above all of the tasks and responsibilities they have. And so then if you all of a sudden say, hey, I want you to become a data expert, then all of a sudden seems like, wait, you're asking me to swim even further into this ocean, to this island I can't even see. And all of a sudden, like, what's really taking place? And I think that's really where we need to take an approach we would with our students. You know, you're not going to talk to a second or third grader and talk to them about how they're going to be, you know, able to read Shakespeare in ninth grade. Like that there's a disconnect. It seems too far away. But what you can do is talk about the practical use. And I think the step one is getting that engagement, because to learn anything requires effort and it requires some work. And so then it's like, well, what can we do to engage the educators to see this is going to be helpful in the immediate? So all of a sudden, it's not going to add to their plate. It's actually going to save them time. And I think there it really becomes listening and learning to what they're doing. One of the most amazing things about educators is they're amazing. If you put them in almost any other industry, like, they can do almost anything. It's like you talk to people who can do presentations, who can do this. Like, they're like jack of all trades in so many ways. And it's like, they're using data, even the people who feel they don't. And it's like, oh, you are. You're just doing it more instinctively. Well, you know, Johnny's always out of his seat. Well, that usually matches if you actually tracked it. And it's like, well, why are you telling me to count that Johnny was out of his seat 12 times? I knew it was a ton. Like, where is these things? And it's like, okay. But again, using this example that I was trying to articulate earlier, the idea is when you can communicate in data, it actually becomes a more powerful story. Stories are the most powerful influences we have. And when stories have data, then it becomes, like, you know, exponentially stronger. And so telling educators or teaching educators or showing educators, hey, when you're talking about this, you're using data. And they're going, oh yeah, of course. And I'm like, didn't it make it easier? Didn't you notice this was doing it? And it's like, oh, so now let's apply it. And so it's building slowly that application and capacity so that all of a sudden they're doing more and more things with it. And all of a sudden they're going to see the time saved. That can happen really quickly for some. When you can have that breakthrough and you can have that aha moment, like I've seen teachers go within, I'm thinking of my old teacher I used to work with. He's wood shop. His shop went from wood shop to STEM and he was freaking out. And I'm like, take a step back. When you were doing your wood shopping class and you were like making them do this measurement, it's the same thing. We're now just measuring it slightly different words, slightly different, you know, application of how it's being done. And once it clicked, it took like, you know, I was with him for a couple days in the summer getting ready for his year. It took us a couple days and then it clicked. And then talk about somebody who took all of it to the nth level, because then he's like, oh my God, this is how I'm going to do grouping. All of a sudden, it's like his ball got rolling really fast. And he went from somebody who is so like, but his connection was faster. So it's really about finding that connection and that parallel to unlock that potential.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's fascinating because as more and more tools come online, one of the other things that I sort of see that happens is that schools will often, I'm not going to say randomly acquire tools, right? And then have this expectation that folks use them. But there is a bit of that that goes on, right? Because there's the new shiny thing that comes along and maybe it's going to be better than X, Y, or Z. So I do love that we started this conversation with recognizing that often that's the case and that really what we need is a way to reduce the number of things, the outlets, the process pieces we have to learn, the different elements that are out there, and to find a way to consolidate these elements under an umbrella. And that was part of the point of the work in the design and development, as I understand it, of Otis. So as we sort of close out this conversation, I want to recognize that we've got folks around the world that have been listening to us chat about this. And now they're like, okay, but how can I be better at this? And this is one tool of several that are out there. So we'll just press that caveat since we're not a marketing agency. However, as we wrap, share with us why Otis? Why choose Otis as opposed to some of the other pieces or parts that are out there, specifically from the element of reducing the number of things or the number of tools that I have to always go back to or pull this one up and then pull this one up and then pull this one up to get what I need?
Yeah, I think that, you know, technology is supposed to help us, right? I mean, I'm very, you know, basic, you know, using the word basic, but as you know, social studies, we just talk about, oh, technology. I'm like, everything's technology, you know, a pencil, a pen, you know, anything can be, a stick can be if you need to dig. Realizing that technology is supposed to help us was really an eye-opening moment for me. And what ended up happening was, yeah, there were too many places for this information and other industries have it solved. You go to a doctor, they don't have to rerun every test. No, they have a medical profile of you that gives you their basic information. They might ask you follow-ups. They know there's nuance. They know you might have changed since your last physical. That's the goal of Otis. So Otis is really this, you know, K-12. So it's really geared for the, you know, K-12 space because we know there's a difference when you're teaching in person, when you're teaching, or at least mainly in person, and you're teaching that age group. It's just different. But what we do is we use technology to connect to all of these various tools. So you know who their classes are, who their teachers are, their demographic information. We also connect to assessments, like I was mentioning, like Dreambox, like NWA, SBAC, your state assessment, and your district assessments. And all of a sudden, all this information lives in one place. And so now you go into one place, you type in the name or they're in your class, and you all of a sudden can see, oh, this is Chris's entire history in the district. I know these key bits of facts. I can see their journey to where they are now. We spend so many weeks to begin the year getting to know our kids, and this could just get a jump start on that. It's not going to solve it immediately. You're not going to replace the teacher, but all of a sudden, you can all of a sudden have that cheat sheet. You can actually articulate who somebody is. And that's really the power of Otis, is that idea that it is using technology to connect to these systems and pull all this into one place so that you have one place to go to. And then when you're doing your
teaching thing, when you're facilitating learning, but then doing assessments and measuring it, if you use the Otis assessments, it's doing all the work for you. It's grading for you. It's all of a sudden, you know, linking it to standards. It's all of a sudden doing all this so you can continue to get the measurements of learning as they come. And really, it's about putting this in your toolkit so that all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's like a fitness tracker. It's like a profile that's living with you. And that's really the powerful thing, because if you can really understand the journey of where a student has come from, where they are now, and where they want to go, then all of a sudden you get to the fun teaching moments we were talking about, right? Teachers get in there for those aha moments. There's nothing more energizing than when a student has that aha moment and you all of a sudden get that energy and all of a sudden it just carries you through. And we just want more of those. That's our goal. We want to connect the teachers and the students and the families together. So we have more aha moments. We have more of that learning and those gains because, you know, we can always get better every day. So, I mean, that's how Otis works.
I love it very much. And you're right. We can always get better every single day. And those aha moments are the joy that brought us to the profession to begin with. So definitely want to be able to spend our time with that and less on the other things that are not quite so fun. So, Chris, thank you very much for taking time out of your day and chatting with us, sharing with us about how you think about data and the potential that it all has. It's a fun conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It was really a pleasure. Love the questions. It was great to have this conversation.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.